This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a super exciting show today. We have author, writer, and priest William Miller coming on the show. So what a cut, and something almost like three guys walking to a bar or something like that. I don't know what it is. But we'll be talking to William Miller a little bit about his book, The Gospel According to Sam. It's the 20th anniversary edition. So we want to talk to him about a little bit about that and how that all came about, and then what we should expect with the new anniversary edition. And then, of course, we'll chat with him a little bit about writing and his writing styles and writing books and writing articles, all the wonderful things he does. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. Everybody, hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is author, writer, and priest, William Miller. William,
you
got to
get
the
priest part in there, right?
You got to. I was reading through your bio, and I'm like, okay, author, writer, yeah, well, cool stuff. Animal lover, animal advocate, yeah, that's great. And priest. What? Hold on.
Exactly. Which one of these does not belong?
That's it. I think I'm taking a test. Oh, my God. Flashbacks to my SAT. So, no. Well, welcome to the show. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me. Been looking forward to this.
Absolutely. And so the lead-in, we have a lot to talk about, but we want to talk mostly about the book, The Gospel According to Sam, the 20th anniversary edition. So though it's a wildly popular book when it was introduced, but some of the audience may or may not know about it. And then we'll talk a little bit about the 20th anniversary. I hate saying 20th anythings because it makes me feel even older than what I am.
I get it.
So tell us a little bit about The Gospel According to Sam.
Yeah, so Sam Houston was my dog here in Texas, and he lived in Austin and Houston, and he had a really compelling story, as all dogs do, but Sam was particularly compelling. When he was a puppy, he was home alone in my ex's apartment, and it was a Sunday morning. There was a gas leak, an explosion, and a fire in the apartment, and Sam was caught up in the fire, and the flames swept over him, and burned him severely and threatened his life. And Sam, as most dogs are, was pretty smart. And so he immediately ran, hid in a closet, burrowed under some clothes, and started crying out for help. And because Sam was such a loving, wonderful dog, everybody in the neighborhood knew him. And of course, they heard the explosion. They heard him whimpering. And so the neighbors did something rather extraordinary. Rather than run away from the danger, they ran right toward the danger. And a couple of the guys next door kicked in the door. One had a garden hose trying to put out part of the fire. Another guy ran in, scooped Sam up, and carried him down the stairs to safety. And so they literally saved Sam's life. And Sam was burned over about 70% of his body. His ears were completely burned off, and he was a not an attractive sight for a while, but more importantly, we weren't sure that he was even going to live. And he was in dog ICU for a few days, and he got to come home, and the neighbors threw him a big get well party and proclaimed him the mayor of their local street there in Austin. And he was just surrounded by so much love and care. And of course, the popsicles didn't hurt either. And he healed up and got cute again. But he became known as the fearless, earless Airedale. And his story just really began to spread. And that became the first story in a book that I imagined. And over time, as Sam went through the seasons of his life and I began to go through the seasons of my life, I just began paying more attention to him. And as I would travel, I'd pay attention to animals all over the world and the kinds of things that I was seeing and encountering, whether it was a whale in Nova Scotia or a yak in Tibet or a sea turtle in Hawaii or a cow in Texas. It really didn't matter. Just paying attention to and enjoying and interacting with the animal world, you know, there was so much to learn and so many spiritual lessons that really began to sink in. And so all of those stories came together to create the gospel according to Sam, which is good news that whatever tragedy you might encounter in your own life, there are going to be good neighbors there, hopefully, to rescue you and to walk with you and support you. And it was just a great experience because over the course of Sam's life, and he lived to be about 12, everybody knew who he was. They knew his story and they would call out to him from their front porches or their cars or wherever he was and wherever they were. Look, honey, there goes Sam, the fearless, earless Airedale. And so it's been a real blessing and privilege to share his story. And now hard to believe we're on the 20th year since the initial release, but the publisher was kind enough to ask me to do some updates and write 5 new stories based on some of the dogs that I believe Sam has sent into my life over the years. And so that's been a treat in the full sense of that word. As well. So we're just really looking forward to releasing this book in early October near St. Francis Day, which is of particular meaning to Sam and to me. And so it's been a blessing.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, it amazes me when reading through the book and listening to your comments, it seems like there are so many things that come to my mind. You know, first of all, we always love a good story about an animal overcoming everything. And we know our animals are our master teachers. We learn yes. so much from them. But I love some of the comments that you made was, to me, correct me if I'm wrong here, it seemed like, yes, you've always loved animals and you love Sam to death, even before the accident happened. But then after it happened, would you say you had even a greater appreciation and a greater in-depth to really find out what they're all about in animals of all sorts around the world?
Absolutely. That experience, which I think a lot of people would view as a negative experience, and certainly it was no fun for Sam and very scary for me, especially early on. But, you know, it made me keenly aware of the blessing of having a dog. And also the resilience of animals. I mean, the two guys who rescued him said that when he got to the bottom of the stairs, and keep in mind, he's burned over 70% of his body. He's got to be in pain. They said that tail was just wagging off the charts, you know, like, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to be okay. Thank you, guys. And that became such a powerful life lesson for me to pay attention to every aspect of life and to really lean in and depend on those you count on and those who love you back.
Yeah, absolutely. And keep your tail wagging. I think that's the key behind it all.
Yeah.
Also love the comment you made about how Sam has sent you other dogs your way. Expand on that a little bit more, because I will say, you know, obviously a very spiritual person. I've written many, you know, spiritual type articles, and it's all about animals. So it doesn't have a dog, a cat, or some sort of animal in it. I don't write it. That's, but, you know, I do believe the animals send other animals back to you for life lessons, future teachings, healing, whatever it may be as their purpose for coming into your life. I do believe those that have left us in the past made that transition have sent the right ones our way to help us continue our journey in life.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, there are some who feel that, you know, animals' lives as well as human lives are pretty much extinguished at the end of our earthly sojourn. But I just don't believe that. There's something within an animal and within a human being that you can sense. And, you know, I would call that a soul. Sam certainly had soul. And I just sense, you know, his presence and really the presence of all the critters that I've been able to love and experience, that unconditional love and loyalty and forgiveness and all the spiritual things that animals seem to grasp more readily and sometimes more completely than we humans do. But it was really funny. Sam was an Airedale. He was an Airedale Terrier. And when I was blessed to move to Hawaii for 10 years, and when I got to the island of Kauai, I had some friends back in Texas who created what they called the Airedale Fund so that I could find a companion there on the island of Kauai. And so I went to the shelter and I went out back where the big dogs were, and there was a sign on one of the kennels that said Airedale. And so I'm, you know, just overjoyed. And I'm thinking, you know, this very regal looking dog, you know, who looks like Sam, except with ears, is going to come walking out. Well, come to find out later, in Kauai, any dog that has facial hair is an Airedale. And so this guy looked about as much like an Airedale as I do, although some people think there is a similarity. But he was black and lanky and kind of goofy looking and had an ear flopped on top of his head. But by that time, I already loved him. I already loved him. And when we took him out, I was with a veterinarian friend of mine. And all the shelter could tell us is that they found him on the road again. He was just roaming down the road in Kauai, and they picked him up. And they think maybe he had been a hunting dog who did not enjoy hunting. He was a lover rather than a fighter. And so I named him combination of Hawaiian and Texan, Na Willy Willy Nelson. And so he was my Kauai Airedale, who did not look anything like Sam, but exhibited a lot of the same loving canine characteristics that just make such a difference in our lives.
Right. But did he look like Willie Nelson? That would be the real question.
He looked more like Willie Nelson than he looked like Sam. I will say that.
I love it. I love it. I talk about this all the time. I believe animals come into our life for a reason. And you never really have to go out and look for a particular type of animal or look for an animal at all. When it's the right and perfect time, they present themselves. And I love that. I love that fact. You know, I understand I'm a former president of a humane society. So I understand we get some dogs in that have a mixture of things and we take, you know, the best, throw the dart at what it is. And usually the names we come up with are, you know, like if you have eight dogs, you find something, a collection of eight stones or gems, and you call them all stones or gems. But I do believe the sign was there for a purpose, though in Hawaii, they sort of label, as you said, facial hair dogs as Airedales, that the sign led you right to him. You know, it didn't matter. You know, Absolutely. He could have been an Airedale, but I do believe it was the right and perfect dog for you. And that was your sign.
He absolutely was. And I may have not even noticed him had he not, you know, had the sign Airedale. And that got all of our attention. But I think you're so right. You know, animals find us, and they just show up in some way. It might be through a friend or through a post that you see on social media, but I do believe they come to you at the right time and in the right way. And it doesn't mean that they are any more perfect than we are as human beings. You know, they all come with stories, and some of those stories are challenging and have impacted some of their behaviors, but they all come with some gift, something to teach us. And that has been my experience. All eight of the dogs that I've been blessed to know and love have taught me valuable lessons.
I love that. And I love that. And I love the fact that you're open to that. You know, I think I always say that, you know, humans and animals, we all have a purpose. There's a reason for us being here, and we should find that purpose and try to fulfill it every single day. But as you stated, you know, animals are really good at that. They know their purpose. If we allow them to fulfill it, they'll do it. Us humans, well, we spend, you know, years in deep thought figuring out why we're here and thousands of dollars in therapy to try to figure it all out, where if we just slow down and shut up, we'd probably find it right away. Follow our dog's lead.
It's so true. We overthink it instead of just being it, you know, as dogs teach us so well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with William Miller. Talk to him more about the book, The Gospel According to Sam, the 20th anniversary edition. And also want to talk to him about writing in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author, writer, and animal lover, and priest, and a man of many, many talents and many worlds he's traveled. Of course, we're talking about William Miller. Talked to him about his book, The Gospel According to Sam, the 20th anniversary edition. So you mentioned before the, you know, in the first segment that you talked a little bit about the edition that's coming out, the 20th anniversary edition, writing some new stories. How did you decide which of those stories you should come up with? Was it a reflection point? Had you already started writing some stories maybe for another book, something of this sort? How did that come about?
Yeah, well, I did write some stories several years ago about my experience with Not Willie, Willie Nelson, or Willie. And that book was called The Last Hallelujah, and it was the story of our life together and a number of the dogs that had come into my life. And so just picking up where Sam left off was really a pretty natural thing. And so I started with the story of the Hawaiian Airedale, because he immediately followed Sam when I moved to this place, you know, 4,500 miles away, didn't know a soul, didn't have a friend, and Willie appeared. And then over the years, as Sam, I believe, would send these other dogs into my life, I could just share some of the things that they taught me, some of the things I learned from them. And then recently, when I moved back to Texas, when I first moved back to this little town called Round Top, I lived on we called it a ranch. By Texas standards, it's really not a ranch, but I took a few liberties. We called it the Freebird Ranch, and it was inhabited by the beautiful multitude of winged creatures you have ever seen. And, you know, we wanted to be good stewards of the land, and so we would put out bird seed and bird baths, and I began to appreciate the tiniest part of the animal world that I think I had overlooked for a long time. All of my dogs have been big guys. And so, you know, to see such beauty and such wonder in these tiny winged creatures, that provided, you know, a whole different level and kind of inspiration. And then I also reflected back, because this is just an interesting, some might say coincidence, I would say serendipity, but when Sam was alive and I moved to Houston and Sam was still living in Austin, the halfway point is about 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now. And that was the place where Sam and his little brother, Andrew Jack Jackson, were exchanged. And now here I am living just a few minutes from that sacred spot, because it really was a sacred spot when the animals are handed off and you get to keep them for a short time. And so one of the reflections is actually about meeting at that halfway point and the significance of that, I think, in our culture and in our world and in our time, where we want people to come to us and come to our view rather than meeting them halfway. And so that became the next to last story in the new edition. And it's a story that really spoke powerfully to me, and I hope, you know, to the readers. And then the last story was really a little bit about my own journey. I recently went through a breakup, and I found myself for the first time in my adult life without a dog. And that's a very difficult place to be, especially when you're in a difficult place already. And then what do you know? A dog appears in my life, and he is a dog who comes from the island of Kauai, and a friend of mine rescued him at just the time that I was beginning to think about how much I needed an animal. And he's going to arrive here in Texas the end of the month, just before we release the 20th edition, 20th anniversary edition. And so that last story, which is called Lost Dog, Found Man, is really kind of my own personal reflection on, you know, being in my own difficult place. And then this lost dog who was found, I think it's going to come here and find me.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Love the title. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk about them just writing in general. Obviously, you've been writing for quite a while and been a multi-published author. What is your craft? What would you call your craft? I mean, I guess I should phrase it. Are you a pitch it over the fence type of person? Are you writing in journals all the time? Once you get a book deal, are you 5,000 words a day, do or die? Or like me, I've got 1 week left and I got to get this thing out the door.
Deadlines are helpful, I think, you know. Yeah. So as a minister, I'm writing every week because I'm writing a sermon or a meditation or a reflection. And so I'm in the practice of writing, but I'm not necessarily in the practice of writing a book. And sometimes that's challenging in my life because I have a full-time job and a lot of creative energy goes into my vocation as a minister. And so what I have to do is carve out chunks of time in my schedule where I can really get into a writing routine. I'm an early bird. And so I really, I love to go away for a couple of weeks at a time. And I do journal, and I am, you know, writing down stories and thinking about the world as I experience it daily. And, you know, what those moments are trying to teach me or what spiritual lesson they're imparting for me or my congregation. And so I have the material, but then taking those spaces, whether it's being apart and then having that time off and away, and I just try to get into a routine where I'm writing every day, and I love to get up early. I love to reflect and read a bit, and then I try to write most of the day until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I shut off my computer or close my tablet, whatever it is, and I go get out in nature and just take a walk or go for, you know, a trip on a kayak or whatever it is, where I'm outside and just my mind can declutter a bit. But it really is about, I think, discipline and routine for me, and just carving out that space and time.
Well, there's, you know, I always say there's no right or wrong answer. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, spend that time in the quiet is a big part of it. I call meditation anything that allows your conscious mind to shut off and allows your subconscious to open up. So, you know, spending time in nature is a great way to do it. Kayaking, these type of things are wonderful. But there's no right or wrong answer. I guess the only wrong answer is you know, if you're not getting your word out in some fashion, then, you know, you're not sharing with others. So, you know, get it out there, whatever it may be, and it will help you out as well as others.
Yes. And I think it's important, you know, to be consistently paying attention. And I find that having, you know, a little journal with me, or, you know, I can even use my phone these days with technology, but just to write down that moment and that experience and that encounter before it's lost, and then go back and look at those and mine them and see how they speak to you, you know, in a different time, in a different way.
Love it. Love it. Perfect. Well, everybody, keep your eye out, get your orders in. Everybody go pick up a copy of The Gospel According to Sam, and then pick up the 20th anniversary copy. So you have a dual set on your bookcase. You'll be in great shape. William, tell us a little bit about where people can find out more about you, see what's going on, track what's happening within your world or with the book.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm on social media, William Miller Author. And Sam has his own page called The Gospel According to Sam. And I'm on Instagram, KahunaPadre1. And then I have a website that will be relaunched very soon. It's called FatherBill.net. And that has all the books that I've written, meditations that I've written, where I'll be speaking, and different book events or concerts, or all the things that I'm involved in.
Nice. We'll look forward to that. For sure. All right. So everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's The Gospel According to Sam, the 20th anniversary edition, and pick up all the other wonderful works that William Miller has done and will be doing. So Bill, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. I'm excited to see the copy of the book, and I look forward to hearing more stories and seeing what else Sam sends your way.
You never know. And thank you so much, Tim. Thank you for all you do.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, ideas, or comments for the show, you can go to PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts. It's a cornucopia barking fun. That's at PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.